Oh boy, it is The Drive. Tame Piper, where's that drink button when you need it?
Yeah,
ESPN Radio 93.5.
You need a breather here. it's been a day for Derek Piper here in the studio.
We're working the phones. We're trying to find out what the heck is going on because a lot's going on. Visits on campus, Kylan Boswell, Kerry Booth, a lot, of course, also in the works. Dante Maddox coming to town here in a few days. AJ Storr, the pursuit there is a big one for Illinois and how that works, where that thing's going to go. Man, that price tag is high, I'm telling you, man. And he's got a lot of leverage right now. Before we move on, I want to circle back. Didn't get a chance to talk with Kyle about the Kentucky hire and that process and just the quick pivot from no Scott Drew. And we were talked yesterday, hey, is it Sean Miller next? Is it a waiting game with Billy Donovan? They land on Mark Pope. I think that's an interesting hire and one that's going to be definitely under a microscope here, just knowing the pressure and the expectations at Kentucky. So
that crazy Kentucky fan base was not having a good night last night when they heard that news.
I know. And it's worth mentioning, too, there's been a report, I think it was Matt Norlander of CBS Sports came out and said that as of today, the expectation is that all three of Kentucky's assistants expected to join Cal at Arkansas, Orlando Antigua, Chin Coleman, of course, two of those familiar faces at Illinois. And with Chin at Arkansas, with Arkansas having a blank slate of a roster and supposedly a big bag of NIL, to circle back to AJ Storr, I would imagine that they're a player there. Chin, of course, landing that commitment for Illinois at one time. And to talk about AJ Storr, just based on what I've heard, and we've circled over this sometimes, he's going through the draft process. He's not currently on mock drafts. Now, The Athletic, Sam Vecenie, I have a lot of respect for what he does. He's admittedly kind of the first guy I go to as far as his projections, and I take the most stock of what he usually has to say. So he hasn't had a mock since February, although he did have a line. They have rankings right now for the top guys in the transfer portal. AJ Storr, I believe, is the 13th best on their big board, and he wrote the bio or the little skinny on that one and said with the NIL opportunities for Storr, he would be surprised if he did stay in the draft. And I would think similar to Terrence Shannon that Storr would be chasing some guaranteed money if he were to stay in the draft. Now, the funny thing about that is that even if he were, and right now he's not, projected in like the early second round, which is kind of the baseline or the floor of where you think that the guaranteed money is from the early second round and up into the first round, of course. Even if he was, say, to be one of the first picks of the second round, that guaranteed contract would be, if I'm not mistaken, probably less than what he would get to come back to college in NIL. So that is something that now maybe it is like IO wasn't IO's deal. And maybe that's not completely.
I think IO signed for like 1.1 mil a year for 2 years.
So not necessarily less, but competitively in line with NIL. And admittedly right now it's not expected that Storr would land in the position to get that guaranteed contract.
Let me ask you something real quick, though. Why would he not get drafted in the second round this year? Why would a guy like him not be on a mock draft? I know there's, you know, defensively there's some concerns and he's more of a volume scorer, but this draft class is so poor. I mean, every draft analyst has called this one of the worst drafts in the 21st century. And a guy in AJ Storr who's a sophomore, 6'7" wing, dynamic athlete, why would you not take a flyer on that type of guy in the second round?
That's a good question. I think he's worth it for a second round pick somewhere in the second round for sure. Now, as we know, as we've kind of forecasted with where would Terrence Shannon go? Where would Coleman Hawkins go? What would that look like? Maybe it would be a two-way contract, which of course is $500,000 non-guaranteed per year.
I feel the same way about Coleman Hawkins when I asked that question. Like, why would you not take a guy with Coleman Hawkins' tools and skill set in this draft with a second-round pick?
Yeah.
No-brainer to me. I would love the Bulls to do that if they even had a second, which I don't think they do.
I like that idea for sure. I think that Coleman's worth that. I think he's worth that look. I'm sure that teams are going to want to know the status of his knee and how that rehabs here with some time off and how he shows at the combine. I fully expect Coleman to stay in the draft. Like, I know that there's talk out there, speculation as far as a big NIL offering. Could that get him back for a COVID year? If you gave him $500,000 guaranteed money in NIL, maybe $600,000, would that be worth him coming back for another year? I think on Illinois' standpoint, they could probably talk themselves into him being worth $500,000. I can just say with certainty that Illinois is not preparing for him to come back, and I do not think that Coleman – and I one thing that I've never associated with Coleman is kind of like hiding his cards with his words. And he said that, I expect this to be my last go. I don't have the exact wording, but he pretty much said, I'm probably done at Illinois, and I think that he's fully preparing to be done at Illinois.
And you could tell last offseason that he really wanted to go the draft. That's not to say he didn't enjoy his senior year at Illinois, but you could tell that he really wants to enter the draft and move on. It probably the outside of basketball, college hasn't seemed to be like his – he hasn't loved it. And that's just basically what I've gotten is his vibe. So I just, yeah, I'm with you. It's your best chance. I don't think Coleman can help himself much by coming back for a fifth year. Next year's draft class is a little more competitive, a year older, which NBA scouts don't like. And he pretty much improved on what he needed to show this year. I'd be shocked. Even if he's like a fringe draft pick, it's not going to change unless he's a different player next year. Am I wrong?
No, I don't disagree with that. Maybe in his mind, he could think that if he was playing the four a little bit more full-time, that it wouldn't...
I guess it is the NIL part, too. Like, if he could make more money in college, then it'd be a better financial decision. Because whatever two-way, training camp invite would be there this year would be there again next year. Unless he gets hurt or something.
But another year... never usually helps. You could have a stellar year, but another year...
if he has a down year, he's off the radar.
Right. And another year to the age is never usually a good thing. Like, that'll be something that maybe caps the ceiling. Of course, obviously, in addition to the what currently is still an ongoing legal process for Terrence Shannon Jr., but he was at an All-American level as far as the production this year, but he's going to be someone that's viewed of, he's 23 going on 24 years old, and where does he slot into a draft that probably keeps him out of the middle of the first round, even if he is ultimately cleared. But to go back on Store, so he's a guy that I think, and we've discussed this, I think would want at least what Terrence Shannon was making last year, which I think is in that 700, 750. You had to give Terrence Shannon pretty clearly above what a two-way would have been. Now, again, like two-way contract, non-guaranteed, $500,000 a year. NIL can be just flat-out guaranteed money for Terrence Shannon Jr. So I think to get him back, you had to be north of $500,000. It was kind of my understanding it was in that $750,000. I don't know exactly where it landed, but for AJ, a guy that is coming off a sophomore year, hasn't played at the Terrence Shannon level that we associated with last year, as far as that goes. But
there's a lot of similarities between AJ Store this past season and Terrence Shannon's first year at Illinois.
That's true.
Stat-wise.
That's true.
Both averaged 17 a game, both pretty similar efficiency. Shannon a little bit better passer, a little bit better defender. But
yep.
You got to realize it's a sophomore. Like, this is a guy that can be really take that jump that Terrence took.
He definitely can, and he's got a lot of leverage right now. So I think that – I don't think Illinois has had any issue with saying we can give you what Terrence Shannon was getting, both in terms of opportunity, role, NIL, and – but I think that the asking price is very high. I think that they're trying to maximize what they get, that being AJ and those that are representing him. And it's still early enough to where – like, as far as how a negotiation works, sometimes the side that has the leverage can ask for more than maybe even they know what they're going to get, and they got to be told no then to back off of it and be told no not only by Illinois but by the other suitors out there. I am of the wondering, and I don't know this for a fact, but I know that Kentucky was very much in the mix prior to John Calipari moving. Arkansas could maybe, I don't know if desperate's the right word, but they might want to start off their tenure at Arkansas with a bang and say, we need a star. We need a guy that we're going to pay upwards of $1 million and bring in AJ Storr.
Rumors
for maybe
are
for maybe 2 years too.
Yeah, rumors are that what Calipari's got $5 million in NIL right off the bat to work with, and I'm sure those donors are quite excited about the move there and are going to be willing to try and get the Calipari era started on the right foot by, you know, overpaying for some transfer guys.
Yep.
So it's for sure a consideration. It's just if it's a guy that is just demanding too much, there has to be a line, especially for a program like Illinois, who you're not Kentucky with $7 million to work with. And there has to be a line drawn where we can't just say whatever he wants, we'll give it to him. Like, AJ Storr is not that caliber of player. Like, if Terrence Shannon had another year eligibility and wanted something astronomical, maybe you'd say, all right, whatever it is, blank check, here you go.
Yep.
AJ Storr's not that level. So at the end of the day, if the demands are too high, if Illinois feels like they're sacrificing other parts of their roster, or the vision that they had for next year is going to be completely thrown off because they have to revolve everything around AJ Storr, I think at that point you have to draw a line and say, well, this is how high we'll go. These are the demands we'll meet for you. And if you're asking for more, then, you know, this is kind of a take it or leave it situation from our end. And if there's something better out there, if a blue blood wants to overpay or whatever it is, I think that's fair from Illinois' part. That's probably how you have to act.
Yeah. I think it's still an ongoing situation where you're going to have time where programs are going to have their say of how far they're willing to go. And all the while, AJ is going to go through the NBA draft process. I could see him going to the combine and really impressing, because he's a very impressive athlete. He's not quite Terrence Shannon in terms of like end-to-end speed, but he's got an ability to finish above the rim. He's strength. He's 6'7". He's listed 6'7", right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's the other thing I've thought about is, in this draft class especially, if you rock the combine, you could skyrocket on this draft board. So that I think that's possible for any of these guys, whether it's Shannon or Storr or any second-round type.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
His decision-making will wait till after the combine for that reason?
I haven't gotten a firm answer on that. I know that they're already exploring what the options would look like and dwindling it down some. I mean, I'm comfortable in saying that, you know, right around the time of the Elite Eight and thereafter, it was like Illinois is one of the top four choices. That's what's been passed along by Storr's camp, and at least based on what they were focusing on at that point. Not to say they weren't open to some new suitor coming in if they were meeting the asking price or having an attractive enough sell. But I think that Illinois, from a fit standpoint, we've been over it constantly, has so much that would just make sense for Storr in terms of development, in terms of the Shannon role, in terms of home state. His mom is still in Kankakee. It's an hour drive down 57 to get to his game. So there's a lot of reasons that it makes sense, but I do think that there's, of course, probably a number that Illinois doesn't want to necessarily go above. Although I have heard, and I've mentioned it here in recent weeks, that Illinois' NIL, the collective, there's nothing official out there on it. They're not going to, teams don't have to publicize, even though Arkansas was very willing to do so, to let everybody know, hey, we're operating with a big stick here with $5 million of NIL at the very least. We don't know officially what Illinois has, but it does sound like that number has ticked up since the Elite Eight or that run to the second weekend. So that's great to hear. I do wonder also, and it's something that I think staffs have to evaluate, and I think it's a touchy subject, because you know in the pros that, of course, it's about the money in a lot of sense. I mean, these are guys' livelihoods. I don't know that you can make too big of an evaluation on, oh, well, he's very aggressive, his agent's asking for a bunch, or there's a little bit of a line drawn in the sand. I know that, although it does remind me of like Roquan Smith with the Bears, and maybe guys that teams would say their evaluation of themselves is a little bit higher than we think. So maybe that's not, we don't want to be in business with that, or we got to move in a different direction. But what I'm getting at is for, there's an interesting mix of, in college, it's still fairly on the front end of NIL. You're also going to mix guys who are going to make huge NIL money with some other guys in the locker room that aren't. Let me ask you this, Kyle. Would, if you were in that position, would you worry about someone that's so NIL driven?
Yes.
Like I think that's something, yes, that staffs probably have to worry about. I'm not saying, and I'm not making this exclusive to AJ Store. I'm talking about grand scheme college basketball, big names in the portal. And now that we know what some of these numbers are, like Omar Ballo, I didn't get a chance to hit on that one yesterday. The former Arizona big man is taking visits to Indiana, going to go to North Carolina. Like,
he's got a crystal ball to Indiana today.
Does he really?
Yep.
There's word out there that he might make $1 million going to a certain school, at least $750,000. So if a guy is taking such a hard stance or so hungry for a certain number, I wonder if a staff would say, we got to be careful that this guy is in it for the right reasons. I just want your thoughts on that.
No, I totally agree with that, in that I would get concerned. And I'm trying to remember, there was a coach that had an interview on TV right around the Final Four. I forget what head coach it was, but basically what he was saying, they were asking him about NIL transfer portal, and he basically said, like, our rule within our program is if we recruit you and the first thing you mentioned to us is NIL, we hang up the phone. We're no longer interested. Like, I love that quote because I think it does show, like, if there's somebody who is totally treating this like a professional free agency, like whoever offers the most money, that's who I'm going to without care for any other factor. I don't care if I win. I don't care if I like the team. I don't care if I fit within the team. I just want the most money. That player might not end up working out because their priorities clearly aren't on the basketball floor within the program, buying into the program. I'm not necessarily saying that AJ Store is for sure that type of guy, but I mean, there already have been some red flags in the fact that he's been to, what, 7 schools now?
If you go back to his high school, there's been a lot of bouncing around.
Some of it was
COVID related because a season was canceled when he was in Vegas, and then so he had to go to Arizona midseason to play at Compass Prep. So there's some of that mixed in there, but...
And I think a big reason why Illinois had such a great year this year, and Brad was very open about it a lot, was that this was a really connected team with great chemistry that, compared to a year ago, the Illinois team that had some more me guys, I'm in this for me, mm-hmm, that's a big difference. That makes a big difference. We saw that on the floor. Now, obviously, you had a lot of talent, and you had Terrence Shannon and Marcus Damask and Coleman Hawkins, but maintaining that locker room, and like you said, like if AJ Store is coming in and this roster gets word of, well, Illinois just gave him $1.2 million, and then there's 4 guys in the locker room that are making nothing in NIL, like that dynamic in the locker room, that's something you have to balance in this era, and that's not nothing. It's not a situation where I think even some of the programs that have gone out and just bought teams, like you gave the West Virginia example from last offseason, they were horrible. Yeah. And they went and spent some big NIL just saying, we're just going to throw NIL cash here, NIL cash there, and bring in as many guys. But that team was awful, and they didn't work well together. And I'm sure there's other examples. So that's something that you still have to evaluate and has to be part of the process. And I'm not trying to make this like, oh, AJ Store is this big locker room cancer and like, yeah, don't bring him in because he's a total me first guy. I have no idea what AJ Store's priorities are. I've never talked to him or met him. But there seems to be some signs, and just in general with some of these top guys in the portal, I think that's something where you have to weigh that of if NIL's the only thing that they're in this for, maybe it's not worth bucking up that big cash because, I don't know, it might not end up working out for other reasons. And maybe this was just a cash play as opposed to actually trying to come win and be a part of something within the program.
Did you see the report on Twitter? I think it was yesterday, where Fran McCaffrey mentioned that Tony Perkins' market value was $500,000.
I was stunned by that. There's no way that's true, right?
That's got to be inflated. That's a lot of money for
Tony
Perkins.
Maybe that's what he's asking for, right?
Now, I think like Kirk Kreiza apparently got $500,000, maybe even $600,000 to go to West Virginia last year. And if you looked at Kirk Kreiza's numbers versus Tony Perkins' numbers or just the value of the player last offseason, by the way, Kirk Kreiza's in the portal yet again. I don't even know where he's going to go this time. But I would probably rather have Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins is a good player, but $500,000 for him is pretty nuts. I wouldn't be surprised if Fran is cooking the numbers a little bit on that. Just
now,
to
if
make
he
it look
does
a little
get
bit
half
better.
$1 million from somebody, boy, this sport is going in some type of direction. If Tony Perkins is making $500,000, wow.
Remember there was one NBA free agent cycle where they bumped up the salary cap and just dudes that were bench players were getting just nuts.
That was a few years ago. I totally
deals, like Mozgov or I can't even remember all the deals that there were, but it would be interesting if there was just kind of this crazy NIL inflation, which again, it's not my money as I've often said, but you do got to be careful about overspending. And then I do think it's a balance because you do have to appreciate the fact that it is now open season in terms of market value. And there are guys that are worth it. Like, I think AJ Storr, I wouldn't laugh at him at all. If I was representing him and I sat down with Illinois, I'd be fine with sitting there and saying, we want the Terrence Shannon money. And I don't think that is unreasonable. I don't think that's crazy. Even though he wasn't Terrence Shannon caliber last year, could he be that in a year? Could he be that in 2 years? Yeah, I think he could be. So I don't think that's crazy. If you're going beyond that, if you're like $1 million, well over $1 million, then you're talking about something that he hasn't proven in terms of his production. So that's all things that guys in college basketball, coaches who are having to act as GMs also, who are having to act as like AAU coaches with all the different player movement and everything, that's where it just is so crazy with the current environment of college basketball. But it's been good to Illinois, and some of these players obviously deserve some of the big dollar figures. Like Terrence Shannon earned every penny of $750,000, if that's what he got this past year. He earned all of it.
I wouldn't have been upset if that number was, if I heard that number was doubled. That's how good he was.
Right. And Damask was a discount. Like if he got 250, 300, he was worth 500, 600. He might have been worth 700 if he, in terms of his production. But
this really basically is professional sports. Like you're trying to get good value on contracts and trying to like, oh, what a steal that contract has turned out to be. Or, oh my goodness, this guy is terrible. We're overpaying the heck out of this guy. Let's get this contract over with already.
It still feels weird talking about it like this, but I don't know.
That's how it's going to be talked about going forward, and it's just going to keep going up. The dollar figures are just going to keep increasing, just like the NBA salary cap keeps increasing. NIL budgets are going to keep increasing. So it's all of a sudden we're going to start talking about like 3 years down the line, Illinois is going to sign a transfer to a 2-year, $10 million contract.
And then nuts. While we're talking budgets, while we're talking money, let me do some work, Kyle. Let me tell you about Busey. It's America Saves Week, a widely recognized national campaign where thousands of organizations join together to collectively encourage their communities to focus on their individual financial wellness. Celebrate America Saves Week with these tips from Busey. Save automatically. You can have a portion of your income automatically deposited into your savings account. Increase your chances for success by doing so. Save for the unexpected. This past year taught us we have to be prepared for the possibilities that are unexpected, like car breakdowns, dental bills, even that last minute fun trip, that vacation, you've earned it. Or hey, maybe you want to contribute to an NIL fund that could get you your favorite team, the player you want to see. That's not on the sheet. I just inserted that in there. Save for retirement, save by reducing your debt, and save as a family. How much better would Americans be with money if we were intentional about teaching good money and savings habits at a young age? You can check out Busey.com/financial pathways for fun and animated programs to teach kids about earnings and savings. Visit Busey.com for all your personal business wealth management needs. Busey, member FDIC.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cash Back Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free Rewards Cash Back Checking and Reward Saver, a few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Tired of trying to keep up with Old Man Jones and his perfect lawn? Spring Green knows that we can't all spend hours a day creating that perfect shade of green, killing off all that crabgrass, and making sure every insect in the neighborhood doesn't call your lawn home this year. At Spring Green, they take the hassle out of your lawn headache with services such as lawn fertilization, weed control, grub and insect control, lime treatments, and even bush and tree care. Let the experts at Spring Green help you this season. For more information, visit them at spring-green.com. Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. You know what I need, Kyle? A good stiff drink. Or a beer.
You deserve it.
I appreciate that. A lot of people out there deserve it for a long week. And it's a great time to kick back, relax. Got some good weather on tap for this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
finally
be
touching 80 degrees for the first time on Sunday, maybe tomorrow.
That's nuts. I think it's, what? High 60s into the mid 70s tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm jealous of anybody hitting the golf course. Anybody doing that, text me on the U of I Line of Link text line.
On our screen is getting me wanting to get out on the course.
I know. I want to hit some balls for sure. Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau at the top of the leaderboard, 7-under. Bryson must be even on the day today. It sounds like my buddy's been texting me.
It's been impossible today.
The wind is nuts out
there.
The
lowest score was 70. Until I think Ludwig Oberg, however you say it, shot like a 68 or 69. That's the lowest score there's been.
Man. So Scheffler -7. I think he was -6 yesterday, right? And then 1-under today. DeChambeau even today, but they're both top of the board, -7. You've got Max Homa. It's crazy that some of the storyline, I think we mentioned on the show earlier this week, that Scheffler and Max Homa both have wives that are expecting babies.
imagine there's some separation like tomorrow, and it's a two-man race on Sunday, and both their wives go into labor.
They both take off.
And third place, if it's DeChambeau or whoever, is like, oh, sweet.
They're just out there playing shit. Like, one fakes like he's leaving and circles back around. The other one's like, I'm out. Homa -6. He's in he's in third place, right behind the two tied for first in Scheffler and DeChambeau. Scott says bass tournament Mill Creek Saturday and Sunday. That's awesome.
Nice.
Should be very fun. But you know what we're getting at. What we do on the drive every Friday, get them in the air, enjoy the weekend. Got a little bit more time on the show, but wanted to get this in. Here's to the week that was, the weekend, the Masters, and all that there is to celebrate. Here's how we celebrate on the drive.
Happy hour.
Love one that other sound.
One other thing to note, Tiger breaks the record for most consecutive cuts at the Masters, 24th straight.
He's going to make it?
He made it, one over.
Nice.
Through two rounds. It's pretty incredible. 24 straight cuts made at the Masters.
That's unreal, and I'm just glad that when I turn on the Masters, even if he's not in contention, I still get to watch Tiger play some golf. Into the weekend. That's great. Hopefully he can make it through four rounds because he's been withdrawing a lot of late. So love that for Tiger.
Yeah, and look, he's not gonna win it, but he's not like completely out of it either with the way this leaderboard has shaken out. Like, he's 8 shots off the lead right now. Who knows? Maybe he just
gets Jordan Spieth out of it because he shot like plus 9.
Clocks back. Yeah, Jordan Spieth was horrific. I watched a little bit of his round at the end of the day yesterday. He was awful.
I hope Koepka made the cut. I don't know if he did. Anybody hoping for movement today probably didn't, in the right direction, probably didn't get what they were looking for, because this course has been really tough to crack.
Brooks is going to sneak into the cut, 2 over.
Ooh. Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas at +1, along with Tiger Woods. You got my guy Cam Smith, minus one, not completely out of it. Was hoping for a little bit of gaining ground on the top of the board today, but did not happen. Looks like Bryson finished plus one on the day, so he is minus six, tying with Max Homa for second. Scottie Scheffler at the top spot, minus seven. Six, five, one. I see you. I can't share what you said, but anyhow, Wade, orange and blue heart emojis landing anyone today. They both, that being Illini basketball, have Kylan Boswell and Kerry Booth on campus. I have put in a crystal ball for Kylan Boswell to go to Illinois. There's a laundry list of suitors. I was told this here recently going into the visit that the likes of Baylor, Creighton, Texas, Alabama have all reached out and expressed interest in Kylan. Not surprising. USC also on that list. Eric Musselman trying to keep him on the West Coast for sure. But
anything that should tell you how the country feels about him,
exactly,
and his future.
Exactly. I'm not terribly worried as far as other suitors at this point. Illinois will have to close it, but all the signs right now pointing towards him coming back home. There's a really strong previous relationship between him and the staff. Jeff Alexander worked that one really hard during his high school recruitment, and Illinois just had a different place now. Even so, when he came for his official visit, it was during the 21-22 season, which Illinois ends up winning the Big Ten title that year. That essentially back-to-back years, you had the 2021 season where they were the Big Ten tournament champ, should have been at least a share champ for the regular season and a one seed. Then you get the next year where they win the Big Ten title. But the now ability to sustain post-Io Kofi, to show everybody out there, if there were questions, like what would it look like for Brad Underwood after two All-Americans cycle through this program? Would they be able to sustain? Would they be able to be a consistent top-tier Big Ten program? And the answer is yes. Even though they had a little bit of a down year the year before, they were, what were they, seventh at the Big Ten tournament or 10th? They weren't 10th.
Seventh,
yeah. Penn State was the 10th. And they were the 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. But last year getting the Elite Eight, a big statement for the program. They have a lot of opportunity at the lead guard spot. And I just think the fit makes a lot of sense for Kylan. He's got a lot of family in town. I mentioned that I grew up down the street from his uncles who are both still here in Champaign. Those are his mom's brothers. His dad has grandparents, I believe, still in the area. Kylan went to Urbana High School or middle school, then transferred out to California for high school. So I think Kylan ends up in the orange and blue ultimately, and I think Kerry Booth has a good chance to do so as well. Illinois really, really likes him. 6'10", stretch four, still only 18 years old, doesn't turn 19 till this summer. Played one season at Notre Dame. I know that he has a visit after this one scheduled for Colorado State. Alabama's been one that I've been told to watch, but if you look at the recent update on 24/7 Sports, he doesn't have a visit currently slotted there. I think they might get Grant Nelson back for another season. So that could be something that takes them out of the mix and even puts more of a bright light on Illinois in terms of the right opportunity for him. So it's not out of the question that they come out of here this weekend with two commitments and another Big Ten program, as we were talking about during the break, making some waves with some crystal balls. And we'll see if they come through, but Indiana looks like they might be loading up here soon.
Yeah, Omar Ballo, crystal ball to Indiana. Miles Rice from Washington State, the guard, who was pretty darn good this past year for a tournament Washington State team. He's got a crystal ball to Indiana, and they've also got, and I should have pulled,
Cannon Carlisle,
guard from Stanford, a freshman, soon to be sophomore, also crystal ball to Indiana. So they could potentially be reeling in three guys to go along with Malik Renew, who's announced he's going to be back, to go along with Mackenzie Mbako, who's announced he's going to be back, to go along with Bryson Tucker, the five-star guard who they're bringing in.
Mm.
It's going to be a talented Indiana team. The question is going to be, can anyone make a three? And is the front court going to be 1990s-like or more modern? And with Ballo, I'm just surprised. Like, you have a chance to get Omar Ballo, you get him. I'm just surprised that Mike Woodson seemingly did not feel he needed to change anything from last season's front court and lack of floor spacing, and instead says, now we'll just get another true center who needs the ball a lot to pair with Renew, to pair with Mbako. I'm interested to see how that plays out. It seems like it's going to be another talent-filled Indiana roster with some fit question marks.
We need to call them Inside Out U, because he had that quote at the end of the season. I think basketball is played, college basketball is still played inside out.
Clearly he does. He's going and getting one of the best centers in the portal.
And they're going to be tough to deal with on the interior for sure. I mean, Balo has some back-to-the-basket game, can play pick and roll, great on the offensive glass, shot blocker, really good rebounder. I think he had a great freshman year. I think he was like 14 and 10. And this past year, what was he, 13 and 11 or something like that, thereabouts? I'd have to pull up his stats, but really productive as a five-man in Arizona. If Indiana's bucking up with $1 million or somewhere close for Omar Balo, now I've heard that they might be approaching the $5 million range for NIL as well at Indiana. That's a deep pocket, high involvement backing there from the alumni.
Well, so, I'll tell you one thing. If you got that level of NIL to work with, they better be freaking good this year. If you're Mike Woodson, you better put together a Big Ten championship contending roster this year. That's, if I'm those big NIL donors, that much money, I'm truly not happy. Yeah.
Even maybe if it's four, I don't. Five is what I was told by somebody, but
it's a big year for him.
Oh, absolutely.
He needs to not only, like, if he squeaks into the tournament with an average team, that's not good enough. If he's going to get Omar Balo, if he's going to spend that $4 to $5 million NIL, he's got to be at the top of the conference, or he's done.
I agree with you. And it's just going to get rubbed in Indiana's face if, say, Dusty May makes it work in year one in Ann Arbor.
Great point.
One of their own. If he gets John L. Davis, I know Big Def is not giving up the dream of Nellie Davis coming to Champaign. I just don't think that that's probably going to happen with the connection to that Wolverine staff with Dusty May and then the, forgive me for not remembering the assistant's name, who recruited him to FAU, then left to Georgia, but then joined back up with Dusty at Michigan. But they've got an inside track if he comes back from the NBA. I do think he's going to take a serious look at the NBA, even if it's a second round draft status, even though he's not in mock drafts as of right now. They get Vlad Goldin. I don't know where Elijah Martin's going to go.
I don't think it's there.
Yeah. I figured somebody was going to.
He just visited
off
Florida, Elijah Martin.
Okay.
I think that'd be a solid spot for him.
For sure. For sure.
I also think if you're a guy like Elijah Martin, you do not want to play with Davis again. Like, maybe Davis stays in the draft, but you probably want your own situation, I would imagine.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, they're well accomplished. It would make sense for one of them to go do their own thing and for one to get out of the shadow of the other. They both were able to coexist, obviously, but I think in terms of just kind of a fresh go for is this their final year of eligibility, I think, for both of them? They were both juniors last year.
I think so.
I think that's correct.
And Goldin as well.
Yep.
He's a fifth year.
I did want to mention Miles Rice averaging 15 a game at Washington State, projected to go to Indiana. Didn't shoot it very well from three. He only shot 27-28% from distance, but that's good scoring numbers.
Oh, my goodness.
For a redshirt freshman in Miles Rice. And then you look at Cannon Carlisle, a freshman point guard. I imagine he was a point guard for the Stanford Cardinal. Started 16 games, averaged 11.5 points, around 3 assists. Shot 32% from 3 on 4 attempts a game. So,
ooh boy.
Can shoot it some, but maybe not
his
strength.
Mike Woodson's got a type, that's for sure. And it's we don't make those shots from behind the line thing that's on the floor. We don't do that.
We don't believe in that. Interesting.
I don't know. That team, you look at last year's Indiana team, and they were maybe the, if not, you know, top two or three most talented roster in the conference. The fit was horrific. I mean, and I just don't know how you could possibly put a roster like that together again. Like, at some point, we see it across college basketball. Like, talent's one thing, but you have to have a team that's a cohesive unit that fits together, that plays a modern brand of basketball that can keep up. And it feels like Woodson's building a roster for 1995.
Yeah.
He'd probably win the national title in 95.
He might, right?
In 2024, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Let me tease this because we're due for one more break, and I'll tease this out.
We can go to the end.
All right. Fair enough.
Center producing.
The thought of Omar Ballo being at Indiana, the thought of Ladd Golden being at Michigan, the thought of whoever's next in line at Purdue, Purdue needs to go out in the portal and get a big guy. Do they not?
I have said that to like 10 people since the offseason. I've said, if you're Purdue and if you're Matt Painter, how on earth would you not be offering the top centers in the transfer portal? If I'm a transfer portal center, I'm dying to go to Purdue.
Yeah.
I am dying to go to Purdue. And like Kaufman Wren can be decent in the future. And I know they've got like two other 7'3" centers that are young. You have such an opportunity now to maintain this moment. You went to a national title game. You have your entire backcourt coming back. But you're losing. You're naive if you think that you can replace Zach Edey in-house. You can't do that. There's going to be a huge drop-off there. And it's such an opportunity for Matt Painter because he's probably got the best center cell of anyone in the country right now. I would be big game hunting for anyone in the portal. Omar Ballo.
They should have been in on that one.
Anyone else, that Stanford center who I know just announced he's going back to Stanford, I'd been offering him NIL. Any other centers, draft eligible guys at NBA, well, whoever it is, I'd be trying to replace ED with someone from the portal. I think if Matt Painter sits on his hands and says, I'm just going to bring back this roster without Zach ED, Purdue fans think they're winning the Big Ten. I would make a large wager that they're not.
That's well said, and I agree with that. I do like Kaufman Wren as a four, but they need a five. And you play, you have a resume where even beyond just Zach Edey, like they've done it in the past with Isaac Haas and obviously a different type of player. Juwan Johnson could step out and shoot at some, but Matt Painter shows that he feeds the post, develops the post as well as anybody and as much as anybody in college basketball. Please, Matt, because I like Matt Painter. I was rooting for Purdue to win the title game.
Uh-oh.
Because I know that's an unpopular
take.
Start
killing him, text line. Let's go.
I just doing it. I wanted to see Matt get it. You know, I like Matt Painter.
He's
one of my favorite coaches to cover, to be in the press conference with. I just have a lot of respect for him and what he's built there. I know that I don't have a problem with Braden Smith. I think he's a great player. I don't hate Zach Edey. All right, we're going to end this Friday on a bad note, aren't we? Anyways, I don't want to talk about Matt Painter the way that we've talked about Tom Izzo with stubbornness in the portal. Like I just personally, he should get killed for it if he does it and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's you had Zach Edey, who is a generational type of prospect. So that should not be Matt Painter should not be sitting there saying, "Well, look what we built last year by going the high school route and just building from within and developing. We went to the national title game." Well, yeah, because you had Zach Edey. You deserve a lot of credit for getting Zach Edey there. I'm not saying he shouldn't take credit for that. I'm saying if you use that as like the reasoning for, well, see, this worked, so now we're just going to keep doing this, and this has proven that it's going to be sustainable as our developmental program and building through the high school, you're not getting Zach Edey again. So that's a terrible logic if that's what he's going to take. I hope not. I mean, I hope so because it means Purdue won't be winning.
Yeah, but right.
I agree with you. It'd be a mistake by Matt Painter to not capitalize on this, you know, this run and this prospect in Zach Edey that you had that you turned into a two-time National Player of the Year and can basically – a center can sell itself on Purdue in the portal.
You said it right there, the opportunity. When will you be more attractive than you are right now as Purdue, a team that just played in the national title game, a team that just had a center who was back-to-back National Player of the Year, a fan base that I'm sure if you weren't already dabbling in their collective or whatever they do for NIL to sign up and say, let's make sure we're having a chance to go back to the Final Four because we still got Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, and then we're going to get this guy to go with Kaufman Wren in the front court. I think that's a huge, huge opportunity that Matt Painter can't pass by. And the last note I want to hit you with, Kyle, before we get out of here, do some of these names like Balo, like Golden, like if someone is replacing Edie that's a formidable center at Purdue, does Illinois need a rim protector, a post defender? I think we've hit on this when we saw Klingon and Edie, and I kind of floated this your way. What do you think on that? Kind of real quick, we got a lot of the offseason to figure this thing out, but
yeah, you'd hate to have the same weakness that you just had this past year. Now, I feel like Merez Johnson is going to hold his own against centers in college. Maybe that's asking too much from him as a freshman, but I think he's got the physical frame and the physicality that I think it's not going to be a Coleman Hawkins level of just get exploited one-on-one. That said, you probably would like to have a 7-footer or a big, you know, yeah, rim protector or whatever to body some of those guys. You can't build your roster to beat like someone else. You just got to build the best roster for you. You have to have a style of play that you want to play and build the roster that fits that if you're Brad Underwood. I don't necessarily think you need to be like looking around and saying, well, in order to beat Purdue, we need this player. In order to beat this team, I just think you have to stick to what you think is right. And clearly Brad Underwood wants to move away from the Kofi Coburn types. And if that's what he wants to do, he had the top 5 offense in college basketball last year doing that. Now you do need to improve defensively. I don't know. Do you think Merez can be that? Maybe as a sophomore at the very least, you think he can, you know, body a center, or is he going to get exploited?
I think he can do a better job at it than Coleman Hawkins this past year, yeah. Which I know that's
a low bar.
No offense to him, a decently low bar. I just think you need, and I think they want a 7-foot type, even if it's a backup for Merez.
That's right. Yep.
To come in, and I don't know. There's no cement done or permanent marker written on whether Merez is going to start or come off the bench this year. But I think another 5 in that mix, I wouldn't necessarily want it to be just Merez and Amani. I don't want Amani against Omar Balo.
Sure.
I don't want maybe him against Vlad Golden, just because there's too big of a size differential there. So I think a 5 added, especially with the rim protection as maybe their biggest asset or one of their big assets, is something that I would be interested in.
Yeah, I guess a better way for me to say what I meant to say was, like, you don't need to base your roster around, like, all right, let's go get a stud center so that we can, and then change how we're building this entire roster so that we can match Purdue's center.
Right.
Like, to have a body or to go get insurance for Merez Johnson or some help in the front court, absolutely, I'm down for that. It's more so, I meant to just be like, you don't need to completely change your philosophy or your roster building principles to just match this one team and get the next Kofi and the next Balo.
And play him 35 minutes
and, game. Yeah, and run your offense through him. And that's kind of where I was going.
No, I agree with you. Good stuff. All right. I need a weekend. It won't actually be a completely off one, but hey, we got a lot going in terms of excitement for Illini basketball with the visitors in town. Got the Masters on. Great weather. It should be a lot of fun this weekend. Hope everybody enjoys it. Hope everybody enjoyed today's show. Hope everybody enjoyed hearing from Trevor Valise. I certainly did. Catching up with him on the Tapman's Towing phone line. We're out. Everybody enjoy it. Next few days, Lon back on Monday, I think.
Or so we think.
So we think. For now, he's in the lineup. Questionable. Or probable, I should say.
Game time decision, probable. Probable. We'll give him that.
217, Shocker, Pipes reading for Purdue. Gonna have to start saying boiler up when the train goes by again. I deserve that.
Just for the record, I was strongly rooting for UConn on Monday night.
Okay. Fan favorite. He's playing to the crowd. That's all right. We're out. We got to get out of here. Everybody, enjoy your next few days. We'll talk to you on Monday. This is The Drive.